Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kia ora, welcome to the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. I'm Ross Carl. Joining me in studio, we've got Bryn Hall, everyone's favourite Auckland Cantabria, and everyone's favourite Aucklander, James Parsons.
That's
probably pushing the truth, yeah. But you know,
North Shore Aucklander.
North Shore Aucklander. Surely. Yeah, it's all the same to the rest of the country, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, the comments I got in Christchurch on Sunday, I think, we're all lumped into the one bracket.
Great supporters. Right?
Can you say anything that they said to you on air? Is it actually possible to repeat that?
What are you wearing was referenced a lot. Use that thing in your pocket to wipe away your tears was referenced, which was obviously my pocket square.
That's quite handy. It's pragmatic.
It was all good banter. It was good banter. I had to take it on the chin, obviously, because the scoreboard reflected the day, unfortunately.
That was an all right day for you guys.
Yeah, well, again, we've probably had the greatest 2 weeks, and probably talked around this show, probably just where we wanted to be. And you know, I thought our intent was a lot better on the weekend. I think we had got that driven through the week pretty loud by Ray, and it wasn't perfect, but again, I think the opportunities that we did have in the game, we took them in, probably gave us a little bit of a buffer around the game, and some individual performance as well. I thought Will Jordan was spectacular, not just on attack, but then, you know, holding up Hoskins was probably a big moment as well. We're just obviously back on the horse, and looking forward to obviously this rest week.
Seems to be when the Blues come to town, they seem to bloody get up for it, don't they?
Is it a styles make fights thing? You know, is it one of those things?
Well, I think every time we play them,
I just think they dislike us the most.
Well, probably rightfully so.
We just know how good they are. So like if you're off 1%, which is probably shown in the last 3 weeks in this comp with us, we've lost. So we just knew that. A lot was on the line for us as well. A shot at home, being at home is massive for us in a finals game. So that was on. And then also, again, we haven't just played that well in the last 3 weeks. And so these boys came down, and it was a performance that made us a lot better.
24-0 in finals in Christchurch. Is this done and dusted? Is this not a foregone conclusion?
I don't think so. I think if the Chiefs can freshen up a few bodies, interesting to see how they take this week. I'm not a firm believer that they just rest to rest up bodies. I think you've got to play and keep that form rolling if people are fit and healthy to play. But you know, if Jacobson's not quite right, maybe another week's rest for someone like him. But that breakdown will be key. They showed that was an area that they dominated last time. If they can bring that set piece efficiency, you know, line out was a little bit wobbly on the weekend for the Chiefs, but their scrum was very effective. And we know their strike power, if they've got the platform and that lightning quick ball. So I don't think it is a foregone conclusion, but a lot tougher task down south, as we know.
While we know the finalists, the Crusaders and the Chiefs, I suppose there is 1 week to go, and you guys have just hit form again, and then you get a bye. Is that opportune or inopportune?
Oh, it's tough. I think, it can go one or two ways. I think for us, it probably came at a good time for us. I think if you have having four games in a row to be rested, reset, and then obviously we've got a big occasion down in Christchurch. So we've had experience with it as well. Probably a couple of years ago, we had a quarterfinal week, had a bye week before the quarterfinal. So we've had a little bit of understanding what it looks like. And so for us, it's a rest week. We'll get back in on probably the Saturday this week just to resharpen things, because came back from the bye week and played pretty poorly against the Highlanders. So want to just get things moving a little bit forward, a little bit fast, and then again, prepare really well, and then hopefully a good game against the Chiefs.
Can I just ask you on that? Has it been adjusted around that? Because you did, probably for the first time under Razor,
yep,
you came back from a bye a bit rusty. Is does it look a little bit different, or is it the same, or does that Saturday, is it the first time you've had a Saturday session?
Yeah, I think,
is
yeah.
Because of the, it's a final, or yeah. is it because of the last time your bye happened, you're a little bit
I think it was a bit of both. I think for the fact that it was actually, when we played the Highland, it was a short week. Yep. So that was the difference. And so even though it's going to be a normal week, but I think, you know, if you'd hate to turn around and come back saying, you know, I wish we had one more day for a final. So I think collectively for us as a group, still get away, and then we can come in on the Saturday, have a look at what, because we know who we're playing now, which makes it a lot easier. So we'll be able to just fine-tune our game a little bit, have the Sunday off, and then get into a normal week. But yeah, you are right. We usually do have the 4 week off, but again, it's a final. It's a little bit different, but we have had experience in the past of just coming in after a bye week.
When you say a week off, I mean, from now until Friday, are there WhatsApp group messages still going? Mm-hmm. Is there still information being sent your way, or is it literally a week off?
Oh, I think, like, again, the SNC trainers will give us a program of what we need to do, but I think for us it's a 4 week off, just refreshing. No doubt the WhatsApp will be going with coaches and strategy group, and we'll be chipping away. But again, I think it's really important to get away, especially on a 4 week block when you play New Zealand teams. It's just good to get away, refresh, and then when you do come back for a final, you don't need any more added motivation for that. So yeah, it's pretty much the 4 week off, and then that Saturday, like I talked about, we'll just get back into it again.
You guys have the clarity of 2 weeks knowing who you're going to play next.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have got to come up with two separate games. How much of a disadvantage is that to them? Or do they just start immediately thinking about how to prepare 2 weeks in advance, considering they're already in the final?
No, I think it's an advantage. I think the Blues have got a lot to play for. I think there's a lot of pride at stake. You know, there's certain things on the wall that mean a hell of a lot to that group, and getting back in front of their home crowd, and put in a performance that they can be proud of in front of a community that they really want to get behind this group. And let's not forget the Trans-Tasman's still there. There's still another trophy up for grabs. And if you can get five games on the bounce and get yourself into that final, you've got to keep upbeat. You can't let this, you know, I suppose, disappointment waver on into that. And that's the crucial message, I think, going into that group, is bounce back. And bounce back hard against the Chiefs at home. And that's their message, and the challenge for the Chiefs is to come back and treat it like a semi-final, and go on with some form and some confidence like they've got at the moment, and continue on. You'd hate to have a little dip in that confidence and form going in to what will be a big challenge going down to Christchurch. So I think it's a win-win for them to have a big challenge like this, because the Blues will be fired up. There's heavy disappointment. I went into the sheds after Sunday's game, and you know, they're seriously disappointed in what happened on that, you know, 80 minutes. But you know, they were already looking to turn things around and make sure they put in a huge effort for this weekend's game. So the challenge will be there. Battle of Bombay's always goes down to the wire as well. So the Chiefs, no doubt, will be presenting themselves. And I think Liam Messab's in and around the group, and I know that man loves this fixture, so I don't think they'll be taking it lightly, and I don't think they'll be looking 2 weeks ahead. I honestly think that group is so proud of what they've achieved, and I think they'll be taking it 1 week at a time and really looking to knock this off.
And for them, win or lose, final, it's a victory this year for the Chiefs. It really is. So they have kind of nothing to lose in that way.
Yeah, I don't think they'll see it that way. I think if you don't get a title, it's still, you know, you'd never go away going, oh yeah, that was, you know, we weren't expected to do this, you know, that's a win. Like, I think every team goes in and they want the trophy, or it's not, you know, seen as a successful season as a player. If I can be honest, like, I think, you know, they're high achieving people, and you know, there's a lot of All Blacks in that group, and they want a trophy. So I don't think they'll sit back and go, oh, this is nothing to lose. Like, I think there's everything to lose now, because there's expectation. Mm. You know, there's almost more pressure. So, and I think they've lived up to that. You know, when they probably didn't perform as well as they have against the Hurricanes, they still found a way to win. Mm. And I think that is a telling sign of where their group's at and where their fight's at. And that's a dangerous beast when they click. And I think Brad Weber's mentioned it a number of times in his post-match speeches. They just haven't put 80 minutes together, which is even, you know, a scarier fact, because when they do, and when they do click and they get their complete game going, and with the amount of speed they play at, I think, you know, it could be an exciting prospect.
Are you excited?
Well, I think, yeah, again, I think they're the form team in the comp.
Oh, here we go.
Seriously.
Here we go.
Excuse me.
Here we go.
Is that a real cough there?
Are you going in as underdogs?
Yeah. I'm saying,
my God.
Is if the form's to go with how they're going, they were
24-0 in finals?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
At home?
How many titles in a row?
Oh.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Someone call the tag.
Note that down. Crusaders going in as underdogs. See if the TAB follow suit with that.
Yeah, yeah,
please.
Yeah. Crusaders at $1.01 yeah. currently the underdogs.
Yeah,
they're 5 in a row. So they're 5 in a row. We're one. We're one in a row. So if you talk around form, but I think coming back to like to Chip's point, I think if you're talking around finals footy, they've probably been playing it the last 5 weeks. You know, they obviously had that slow. They had that slow start. And so they've been in kind of knockout phases for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So I think for them, that is a massive advantage for them. And I think playing that kind of footy and the way that they've been winning as well, that might be the moment in a final when you get into the situation with DMAC. We wouldn't want to give him that situation because he's come in clutch probably the last fortnight. But playing those kind of games, you just can't buy that experience, especially for that group. So coming back to Jip's point, you know, they won't look past the Blues. That's always a big fixture for those two teams, and they'll be looking at them. But I think in the back of their mind, these experiences they've had the last probably month, it's going to help them massively comes final times in a few weeks' time.
This week's episode of the Aotearoa Rugby Pod is brought to you by Manscaped. You know it, the best men's below the belt trimmer available. Over 2 million men worldwide believe in this product. You get 20% off, free shipping. If you go to manscaped.com/rugby, that's if it's going to the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, all around the world. Listen to this podcast and you will have beautiful balls. That is essentially what's going on here, right? But you've got to buy it first. But
yeah.
20% off, you've got to buy it. Yeah. What a deal.
100%. Hairy moments of the week, brought to you by Manscaped. What is your hairy moment of the week?
Mine was actually Sione Harvilli on, obviously,
Taniyelu?
Taniyelu, yeah, on. Very lucky not to probably get a yellow card in that one. Took his hair off, eh, Jip? Took his hair off, mate.
Took something off. Took the wind out of him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He went flying. And I tell you what, he's not a small man, so he's done well to make him go flying. Moving on, my hairy moment is Dalton's injury. I feel like anyone that gets named captain of the Blues at the moment seems to get injured, so maybe just no captain this week.
Yeah.
We'll just run with no skip and no one gets injured.
Are the lads shaving their legs and stuff these days? Is that something that still goes on?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You gotta look good, feel good, play good.
Talking from man of experience? Or?
Oh, well, back in my day, I used to play.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And were you using like a Bic razor or were you using a bit of a hedge trimmer? Or
I would have loved the old Manscaped 3.0.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had to go, you know, a battler status, you know, just something.
So you're leaning back while the missus shaves your legs? Or
no,
you're doing it yourself in the shower.
Just got to do the hard graft.
Yeah.
Yourself, you know. Can't put that on the boss.
Right.
Do it yourself. this has gone somewhere I don't want it to go.
Oh, this is fantastic. This is great.
This has gone somewhere I don't want
when
it to go.
When you said that, but anyway,
well, that's where the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 goes.
That's what you needed.
You
needed
that. You want other things to go because it makes sure that you don't get those nasty little nicks.
You don't want those nicks.
Aotearoa Rugby Pod brought to you by Manscaped. You can also get the Peak Hygiene Plan. Every 3 months, it replenishes your product to make sure it's operating as well as it can so you can operate as well as you can. Let's talk DMAC and Will Jordan then, because, you know, for the entire year, we've been talking about how Jordy Barrett is just playing out of his skin,
which he did again the other night.
Probably an absolute shoo-in. This is obviously the position with the greatest amount of competition in the country. Like, it is phenomenal. You could pick any of those guys and have a world-class player, arguably the best player on the park that night, in one of those guys. Is it still Jordy Barrett?
I think if you think of the platform that Jordy Barrett's playing off and what he's still delivering, it's freakish. Like, I mean, just reference that grubber and that line break and the grubber, and I almost wished he'd picked it up rather than trying to, you know, grubber it on. But like, he creates a lot out of nothing just based on himself. And again, it's that, like, reference. It's the time, you know, it's almost 24 months he's been performing at that level. So I still think it's his first crack at it. It's about doing it in that All Black jersey. But to your point around Damien and Will Jordan's starting to really find his groove. But
he's fizzing.
He is, but Damien is is winning games with his boot, but more so in terms of his way that he injects himself and his control, his game control from 15. His decision making of when to be that electric Damian McKenzie and take a gamble, and when to rein it in and set the play up or put them in a field position. He's got that balance so right where maybe in the past he hasn't. Like at the moment, his game is just so on point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a hard one to select.
Yeah. Is it something that people overlook? Because when you look at that team and the number of, you know, caps they've lost, like the Sam Kane, et cetera, on the way back to where they are now, Damian McKenzie as a maturation of a player, you know, gone from the guy I suppose everyone talks about as the X Factor guy, the guy who might, you know, might make a mistake here or there, might, you know, throw one too many 50-50 balls. He's now not that guy. Like you say, he's getting that balance right. Is this the year that we've seen the maturation of Damian McKenzie?
I think potentially because of where the Chiefs are at, he's almost had to say, follow me, like put the team on his back as such. I know it's not just him. Like there's a lot of players that have done a lot of work, you know, around, I've mentioned Angus, Jacobson, Weber, I'll go, you know, Anton Leonard-Brown as well. But he's really taken charge in terms of the game driving and the direction of the group and getting that balance right between maybe that 50-50. But I still think there's plenty of X factor there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go back to, I suppose, the match winner against the Blues and, you know, other, you know, sort of, you know, passing game and offloads. He still has that X factor, but it's that decision making in moments is getting that balance right. But I think maturing is a great word, and that position of maybe that 10-15 role on the bench is a hard one, but he still has the ability to start, don't get me wrong, but it might be the position he fits perfectly at the start of the All Black season.
Well, Beauden Barrett's coming back. I mean, what do you do there, Bryn? Like, that's difficult, isn't it? Because Beauden deserves to have a spot within the All Blacks. He's done so much there. A certain amount of loyalty has to be shown. But, boy, Damien's doing enough. And maybe you think the other way. Well, he was the one in New Zealand, and so therefore we showed loyalty to the guy who stuck around in here for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think, he's obviously really mature. And I think coming back to Jip's point, especially around the game management side, and you bring up a great point, Ross, around probably in the past that offload or the wrong timing of that, I think that's probably just gone out of his game this year. And so the Chiefs have been, they've benefited from that because his game management at 10 has been world class. And so I think having that 10-15 role, it definitely makes it him definitely in the squad, I think. And so it's tough because as a competitor, you want to be out there. But I think Geordie, through the last 24 months, probably deserves that role to still be 15. And then Damo has that ability to come off the bench either at 10 or 15. And so Bodie's going to be back. He's going to be in and around the group. And so I think he's going to get his opportunity. But I think, you know, Damo is probably warranted of getting an opportunity. And Geordie will probably end up starting, I think, with the way he's played. So they'll all get the opportunities. It's more so when you get to that level, you just got to try and take your chance when you have it. When Damo has it, or Geordie, and even Will, obviously, who's come into really great form in the past 2 weeks. So probably to his standard, he probably thought at the start of the comp he wasn't a little bit off, but probably wasn't to himself that he was last year. And he's really come into form now. So
I mean, that try, that first try, you
see. Oh, yeah. That's what Will brings. So he's got the ability to turn a game on its head with his X factor and an ability to be in and around the ball. So he's something different that the All Blacks could use at that level as well. So, you know, it's a great time to be, it's a tough time to be a fullback, obviously, but there's so many around. So it's going to be a tough decision for the All Black selectors, but we've got a lot of them. So it's great for New Zealand rugby.
Yeah, 100%. It's a good position to be in. Will Jordan, his acceleration off the mark.
Yeah.
Is that unmatched in New Zealand rugby? Because it seems, I don't think I can see a person out there who just goes from woe to go like that.
Yep. Well, that first
Rico.
Try's
Rico.
But that first try's a perfect example of it, you know, even though he used a bit of footwork, but that first oomph when he gets the ball on the run, you know, it's tough to stop. And he's actually quite a bit, he's a big boy now, probably at around like almost 100 kgs. So when you've got that speed and power, it's really tough. And you get him on an open field.
He's brave though. That first try, he went between two props.
He did,
and I thought, because Blake Gibson did a great job. Like he got up and he forced him back in.
Yep.
And I thought, whoo, he's going back into two big boys here, and he just split them.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd think he's still, I know he might have put on some weight, but he's still slight.
Yep.
And he's running into two big 130 kilo props. I thought, oh, this could end poorly. And then he just popped out the other side and then slipped around, I think it was Mark Talair, and scored. And I was just like, man, that was a hell of a try.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that he's slight, because he is sneaky tall. Like, when you don't see, you don't, it doesn't seem that way on the television. You meet him, he must be 6'3".
You're about 6'2". You're about 6'2". Yeah. 6'2". Yeah.
There's a lot of him.
Yeah. No, there isn't, so I think...
A lot of Nepo and Carl too.
You don't want to be the meat in that sandwich.
No, he got through it comfortably, but I thought the big fellas were going to light him up at one stage, but, unfortunately not to be.
Yeah, but I think defensively as well, he had a massive game. Like I talked about before, that try with Hoskins was a big one for us, being able to stop that. You know, that's different. If they score, that's 12-7, and it's a little bit different, so... His defensive side has been really massive. I know probably the first part of the comp he was wanting to improve that, and so I think those things again, especially at that level, you've got to be able to defensively make your tackles, and that was a big moment for us on the weekend.
Yeah, when you get to that, I mean, we saw it when he played that game at the end of last year for the All Blacks, but it's one of those people when they're in that kind of form, you've just got to find a spot for him, don't you? You've got to fit him into the 23, doesn't matter how many people there, because there's going to be a couple of years where he's unstoppable and you don't waste them.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
So many.
It's hard, I think they probably will find a spot for him.
Right wing?
Potentially, like a Ben Smith, maybe. I mean, I don't know. There's, you know, Sevi Rees is playing really well on the right wing as well. George Bridges coming back into his work around his aerial game. You know, I think Caleb's starting to get really busy and show that power winging game, and I think that's his point of difference when he gets in full flight. So there are good wingers around as well.
Yeah.
So it's just getting the balance right and what tactics and game plan Ian Foster and his crew want to run with.
Yeah.
Because I think there is depth of that left winger. You've also got George Bridge and Caleb Clark. But probably that right winger, you've got Sevi Rees as an out-and-out right winger. Obviously, when Bodie came back, Geordie was on the wing, whether you probably stick Geordie at fullback. There's probably a bit more room for Will to be that 14 spot.
Yeah.
Him and Sevi would be able to go back and forth. So that
definitely
left,
reminds you of a Ben Smith, doesn't it? That ability to play that right fullback role and find a spot for him like we had to with Ben Smith, you know, you just had to get him on the field because he was so good.
Yeah, and an uncanny ability to beat the first man like Ben
Smith.
Yeah.
You just, the first guy never tackles him.
Yeah, especially off counter-attack.
Yeah.
Will was really good around that. He just finds a spot, whether it be two props, he's looking for space, and if he gets through that line, you know, bets are on, he's probably going to score a try. So having that ability to be able to break open a game, it's pretty great to have, great attribute to have. So
some great escort lines from those Crusader forwards.
Was it penalised, was it?
Oh, no,
was
it penalised? No, it wasn't. I'm just saying, they're doing some good work. Some great work.
Find a way to get through.
Yeah. And if it's not illegal in Canterbury.
It's perfect, mate. It's perfect. You know. I'm just jealous.
Well, we got penalised against jealous. The Chiefs for it, actually.
Yeah, yeah, so you did. It was a good captain's referral, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, mate. So.
yeah. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen in the final.
No. Well, look, it shows how efficient the captain's referral can be.
Could be, or inefficient. We've had a couple of shockers.
Brad Webb is very good at it.
Yeah.
He's probably the most successful.
Mm.
He's a sharp operator.
I feel it does slow down the game a little bit, I reckon. Just at times.
Here he goes.
At times.
Because it hasn't worked for him.
I just think, again, the referrals are great, but there's just so many things that happen that, in fair play, they're great calls, but... You know, there's so many things you'd see that pen on it. Oh, that's probably happened 3 or 4 times in the last 20 minutes. You know, and so it's kind of just slowing down the game. So I think Scott Barrett brought up a pretty good point around it. And just kind of, there's enough kind of time that gets in games. And
nah, I'm all for it.
And so, just a weird little note.
So you'd can it?
Oh, no, it's tough. Oh, I'm 50-50 on it. Because I can see, because they actually are penalties. And, I think there might be a little bit, I don't know, just a change around... Maybe how many times you can use it, maybe. Because we're quite...
Well, mate, if you're wrong, you lose it.
You lose it, yeah.
Well,
you're wrong, you lose it. And that's the only time you can use it.
Do you want to add
another one? No.
You want
one
more?
I'll get myself into trouble.
You're not going to get yourself in trouble, mate.
I'll stay there.
You want to get rid of it? I now know it irritates you. I want to keep it more.
I think it just slows down the game a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
What's your guys' thoughts on it?
I've just given you mine.
I don't understand why it's a different rule at the end of the game to what it is the whole game. I think that creates a weird system. You have to have the same rules for an entire rugby game, not different rules for the end of it. That makes no sense to me. Why, if something happens in the first minute, is any different to something that happens in the 79th minute?
What's more so, all the penalties, it's really the foul play. That's the one that's stopping it. You know, it's not really like a captain's challenge like in the last 5 minutes. It's actually the foul play that's kind of stopping the game. So whether it's
So it's, you guys have got to stop doing foul play.
Nick roll. It's just like hits off the ball.
If you have that last,
the
last 5 minutes, then you can have the foul play in there, because then, you know, that's when it's probably at the most time when you need it. So it's been used pretty much
the other
time.
75.
Yeah, the other 75. Again. Like, you can neck roll.
I'd actually love because you're a stat manager. I'd actually love to see what the percentage of what the captain referee is. Who's actually got the best captain referee?
Brad Weber.
What the extra percentage is?
Scott Barrett's pretty good, actually.
I'd love to see what it is.
Even though he doesn't like it, he's quite effective when he uses it.
Brad Weber. Let's talk about Brad Weber, because again, another guy who probably hasn't been spoken about as a captain in the past. Obviously, when you talk to him, he's a smart bloke. He's doing a good job.
I think he is, yeah. Look, he's a natural leader. He's done it a bit when he's been with Waikato and
Hawke's Bay.
So I think, you know, he is that sort of personality. I think he's got a really tight bond with most teammates he plays with. You know, he's going to be an actions man as well as a talker, and any sort of, I think most halfbacks will be I suppose studious.
He's quite honest for a halfback.
I think. I think most halfbacks are honest. But like he is a natural. I just think he's a natural leader, and that's how he comes across. He's straight up and down, and you can just see the group responds really well to his leadership. And I think he works in tandem really well with Sam Kane when he's there, and probably takes a little bit off Sam so he can just focus on his game, and they work well in tandem as well. And and when he's just been doing the job on his own, it's gone well for him.
As a player to go up against, like, have you seen his game change as a captain?
It's pretty well, again, like us halfbacks kind of we're always yapping around, we're always chatting away. So I think he's very smart and has a pretty good game, great understanding around the rules, and has a great understanding of the game. So, and I think the most important thing for a leader as well is Jibba talked around his actions. He leads by his actions, the way he plays. Again, so he's quite smart and he has a great communication with the ref. But I think first and foremost, as a captain, you want to be leading on the field. So I think with Sam Kane leaving as well, him being able to be at the forefront and really taking the team by the scruff of the neck.
That point there, the communication with the ref, his personality is likable. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that he's favoured or whatever, but he's got a knack of communicating in a little bit of a jovial way. And he does have a way of communicating and getting his point across in a bit of a tongue-in-cheek way, and being able to, you know, with his captain's referral, still having that serious side. And, you know, he does have a good balance there.
The Aotearoa Rugby Pod Workhorse of the Week is brought to you by Farmlands. Farmlands is committed to engaging with communities and taking rural people rugby, like with the Farmlands Cup they had earlier this year. And if you're sidelined, head down to Farmlands, get yourself some nice wet weather gear. It'll look after you throughout the season, boys. Workhorse of the Week, who have you got?
I was going to go Dalton, but I'm actually going to go David Harvilli, actually. I think...
Gonna give it to a Blues man and then he changes.
Commitment
to the backs as well.
I'm gonna go David Harvilli, just with his work off the ball. Now, we've talked about he obviously set up a couple of tries on the weekend, but his ability to be able to a second pivot for us was massive. His distribution skill was world class, and I think his tackles as well. He was rocking at about 92% with his tackling. So,
And Hoskins Tutu is my workhorse of the week, Farmland's workhorse of the week. 15 carries. 132 metres, 2 line breaks, 100% tackle success rate. Just an absolute beast. And just everywhere.
So that is your Farmlands workhorse of the week. You've been to a Farmlands Cup, haven't you, Brent?
I have. Yeah, we're in Temuka this year. Yeah, it was nice. I think, any time we get out.
Where's Temuka?
It's down south.
Oh, yeah.
It's down south, mate.
There's a South Island.
South Island, mate.
Just checking whereabouts.
We got out. We probably went down there a day earlier, and actually it was great to be able to see the kids. We had a couple of promos and, you know, for us, it's great to get out there because, again, we don't get many opportunities to be down there. So whether it be at the Highlanders, when we go down the Highlanders region, or we're at the Crusaders region, every time we get to get out there, we love seeing it. So it was an awesome day.
And I think I might even credit, while we're talking about captains, I thought Dalton Papali'i was really good yesterday. I thought sometimes, you know, you think, you know, he's playing so well. Is captaincy potentially going to burden that player? And I don't know how you... I thought it was one of his best games. I thought he was great in terms of his play around the field. You know, I think Luke Jacobson was leading the turnover stats. I'd say Dalton after yesterday will be leading that now. I think he got 3 breakdown turnovers. So, and he, I thought his way of communicating with the ref was exceptional, and he was really making sure that, you know, he was part of the conversation during the day, and it brought the best out of him. So I think there's, you know, a great future for him in that leadership role in that Blues environment, which is awesome to see. Is I suppose our environment is in the Blues is growing future leaders.
Yeah, and he can be there for a long time.
Exactly,
like 23, 24?
Yeah, he's very young and has had a lot of leadership experience as a young player coming through the system, and now sort of finding confidence in his own game, and now is hopefully going to lead on to, you know, nail that part and nail his week prep so that, you know, he can now do the leadership side as well.
He's one of those people when you meet, you think captain. He's kind of, what's the way to describe it?
Like a presence.
A likable alpha. You know what I mean? Like a person who's not intimidating, but like you say, there's a certain aura about him of confidence without being arrogant, you know, of knowing what he's there to achieve.
And I think going back to Brad Weber, when I said like a lot of his teammates, you know, he gets along with all his teammates, Dalton's the same, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what personality you are, everyone's sort of, you know, he's infectious and everyone gets along with him and he finds time for everyone. And I think that's a sign of a, you know, one, a good person, but a good leader as well.
When you're playing up against him, is that the kind of stuff you know?
Yeah, I was just saying, those are the traits you just see. When you watch him on the field, you're just like, man, that guy right there, due to his actions, we talked about his great leadership, but he's a guy that plays like that. He plays big. We've talked about it before. You know, his the thing that I love about his breakdown turnovers, they're in big moments where you need a turnover. Yeah. Like that first one of the turnovers he had, we had a great ball carry, had two cleans there, and he's on the ball straight away, gets a steal with just like that. And it's those kind of moments in games there where he does that really, really well. And you've also talked about his growth in his line-out work. And so
he's a power athlete.
His
carries, like, I think he's averaging 9 metres per carry.
Yeah.
Like, that's... He's strong in the carry. Like, for an open side flanker, that's impressive numbers.
Yeah. That's 9 metres over the advantage line.
Like per carry. Yeah. So he's like, I think Rugby Pass put up post contact metres. He's in the top five for post contact metres as well. So, you know, once he hits contact, he's going through that collision as well. Yeah. So, you know, he's doing the business, ball in hand, he's doing the business in defence, and now he's adding that leadership. You know, he's got a big career
He's
ahead of him, not only at Super Rugby level, but, you know, All Black level, I think.
Yeah, I definitely reckon he should be the seven with Kane, with Sam, hopefully, with the way he's been playing.
I know where his injury's at after, you say he did come off, so Sunday. Hopefully he is all good to go for the Chiefs.
So depending on Artie's injury, you would look at having Artie at eight with Dalton at seven as
well. I just think if Artie was injured, like he'd probably be back. I'd go obviously Dalton at seven. With Artie back, you know, Steve's still got Hoskins as well. He's great off the back, and we've talked about that a lot, but
Luca Jacobson
has been fantastic throughout the whole year, coming back in some rich rain of form.
You talk about the back three, you know, then you've got Lucy's that's clogging up as well.
Shannon Frizzell's at six, so
I thought Akita was massive off the bench. You know, he showed as probably one of his best performances this season, I felt.
Should he have been on the bench? Should Ōtere have been on the bench for such a big game with so much on the line? Was there too much experience coming on late rather than being on early?
Well, let's be honest, Oatsy was on there pretty early.
Yeah.
Like with Taniela Talia's, I don't know what happened there. I know the Blues management aren't overly happy with
situation.
Because he was winded. They felt, but the match day doctor pulled him off. So I think they're asking a few questions like this. So Oatsy would pretty much started. So that's null and void, that sort of discussion. But I feel like, let's talk about the game. Like the Blues, again, so Highlanders, 28 defenders beaten, 4 tries, and, you know, creating a hell of a lot of opportunities. Jared Cowley, line break. Caleb Clark, massive amount of line breaks, but just not finishing those opportunities. Creating a hell of a lot of opportunities. Mm. Same yesterday, I think 9 entries into the 22 came away with 6 points. So 7 times of those entries, you know, not scoring those tries. 23 defenders beaten yesterday's, 9 line breaks. So again, opportunities created.
When there were those struggles where you guys on that run of not beating, you know, New Zealand Super Rugby teams, you were always only losing by less than 7. It was always, you know, you had a line out at the end and you didn't quite get over the line, or, you know, it was always on. And I feel like it kind of,
I feel like
while the team's
different.
Playing better, it's still a similar situation.
No, I feel like it's different, because if you look at last year, like we were doing a lot better than that.
Yeah.
And it sort of continued on, and you can't sort of put us in that bracket, you know, like if anything of those close losses, probably the Hurricanes are in that bracket at the moment. Like, you know, they're losing games and they're losing in that close bracket. That's where we were at, you know, like you get so close and you lose within seven all the time. That's all, you know, frustrating. Whereas, you know, we lost 29-6. You know, like that's not a close loss.
No.
Like we weren't clinical enough to get close. So it's not really the same bracket.
Yeah.
But the finishing, the Blues are probably creating more opportunities than, like if we go back to those times, the score was probably 15-14. And we were creating no opportunity. If this makes sense, it's totally different. I just don't. It's not the same. We're a much better
team. Outfit.
We just haven't been clinical enough and accurate enough. So 17 turnovers is just too high.
Yeah.
To win games of football.
Yeah, and I think for us it was more so we just like we talked about. It, we didn't have many opportunities, but we were clinical enough to get the points when we needed them. Like if you look, you know, then we made more. We made it. Attempted 200 tackles again, but it didn't feel like that.
No.
It didn't feel like the stats.
That's what I mean. You're so clinical when, even when you lost against, you know, the Highlanders and the Chiefs, like the game drivers of the Crusaders don't need that many opportunities because of the clinical cleanouts and it's quite impressive how they can score their point, you know, because you've got a 10 who's exceptional, probably, if not one of the world's best.
Yeah.
And then you've got a 12 who's used to playing 15, who's basically a 10 as well.
Yeah.
And he's big enough and strong enough to be direct at carrying, a big defender, but also is a distributor who gives a 30-metre cutout pass on Sevu Reese's chest.
Yeah.
And then he just gooses and scores. Do you know what I mean? And then you've got a 15 that we've already spoken about. You know, like it's quite and of course they've clinical because they've got a great forward pack who, you know, I mean, Whitelock's playing some of his best footy, you know, and he gets he doesn't get that many reps for, you know, that you guys take him for granted, quite frankly. He should be put up on a pedestal for the amount of reps. I said that to Israel Dagg. He was like, oh, he just does it. You know, I'm like, you take him for granted. It's shocking.
We probably started off with a hiss and a roar that first month. And then the teams all got better. We went away and probably didn't get things right where we wanted to be. And again, we weren't perfect on the weekend, but our intent was probably a lot better. We had a massive focus on that being in the week. Probably felt, we talked around a lot around our breakdown. And I thought that was a lot better. So those times we did it, we were clinical enough. It was really that quick tempo, like we've talked around with the Chiefs. You know, when they play at high tempo, that's what we want to be playing at. So look, it wasn't perfect, but I think for us it's a step moving forward, especially when we do play the Chiefs, who are great around the breakdown. It's a move in the right direction.
I know you can't give too much away, but I felt like your kicking game was more contestable yesterday.
Yep.
Is that because George Bridge is back, or is it just an adjustment? So he's obviously really great at getting 50-50 balls back.
Yeah.
But I thought Sevu was good as well.
Yeah.
And Will Jordan and Richie.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like it was you kicked the same amount, but it just seemed a little bit more contestable and effective.
Yeah, I think so. I think we had a bit of balance. I think the kind of, when we played against teams, when we were kicking it long, they were good kicks. They were putting them quite deep into their half, but teams were holding on to the ball. And so then we found, well, you know, a stat we found out is that we were the worst team in the comp, 7-plus phases. We were giving away tries and penalties, so we were the worst in the comp. So I think for us, it was more so trying to marry it up and around. Yep, we can still kick long and be able to exert pressure that way, but I think going back to our contestable game, likes of George Bridge being back, then we actually got the chance to get the ball back. Even if they do win it, it's a 50-50. And then I think having that balance of being able to still run and play, because when we have the ball in hand, we're great. But I think, again, how can we put pressure on other teams, going back to our contestable games that we've talked about a lot.
Let's have a look at the Canes. What to make of the Canes this year? Are they that far off the pace?
That's what I was meaning before. Yeah. I don't feel like they are. It's just so tight, this competition. And honestly, I think if you looked at that game statistically, the one area that was the difference was the scrum. Mm. So the Chiefs used the scrum to get themselves out of trouble exit-wise. They'd march for a penalty, and then they'd you know, maybe have a counter-attack down the short side. And then it obviously came to a point where as soon as there was that penalty and they went, you know, for the scrum, you knew they were going to scrum for a penalty. Mm. And they were in trouble. And I genuinely think that was the area that was the difference. And then one other part I felt, and I don't know, I'd like to hear what you think, is the kicking duel. Both teams kicked a high amount. Mm. I think the Hurricanes kicked 36 and the Chiefs 30. And I just felt the Hurricanes lost it a lot of the time, that territory battle, because the Chiefs would it was sort of force back, and then the Hurricanes was always the team kicking it out, and the Chiefs would always gain that gain, and they'd get a line out 30 up from, you know, in their attacking half, and be in that prime spot. And I thought maybe that's potentially a growth area, you know, for them is when they get in that kicking duel, just making sure that, you know, maybe they have an option out of that they don't succumb to just, you know, giving that, like, that yardage, that yardage up. But it was the only two areas that they probably lost. Other than that, it was so even. And they probably had dominance early, and the Chiefs were patient enough. And I felt like it was winning that kicking duel early that got them back in the game. And then late, Sean Stevenson put a big one back over the head of the Hurricanes, and then they kicked it out, and that led to a line-out which was wobbly towards the end. But it actually ended up in them getting that penalty up and around that halfway.
The Canes, where do they go from here? Like, how would you take a season like this?
Well, it's very similar to what the Chiefs had last year, isn't it? So I think they're there or thereabouts. It's just, it's unfortunately, it's a very similar situation to the Chiefs. They're losing those games just by, you know, 7 points. You know, it could be a lot different. They could be very similar to what the Chiefs had this year. So I don't think it's really have to alarm bells. I think the fact that they'll go back, you know, they've still got the Trans-Tasman again as well. Their attack shape and the defence, you know, we've talked about a lot of their defence. They put teams under a lot of pressure due to their line speed pressure. So Corey Jane, we harping on around that during the Trans-Tasman when they have the opportunities to play in that game. And their attack shape, they've got great variety in their attack that we've talked about a lot. So I think for the obviously Aotearoa, the margins are so small, very similar to what the Chiefs had last year. They lost games and, you know, they didn't win. But it only takes one game, and it takes just that little bit of time together, then you'll be able to get that back. So I think for the Trans-Tasman moving forward, there's a lot for them to play for. Very similar to the Blues, you know, obviously the final set in Sloan, it's going to be the Chiefs versus the Crusaders, but that Trans-Tasman is another competition where silverware is up for grabs. So they'll take a lot of learnings, and I think they're that far away.
They've got some core leaders there that are so strong and a lot to build on, and then they've blooded a few players. Like Luke Campbell, for example, I think starting to play really well. Like, you know, this experience he'll be better for, and whether TJ comes back or not, you know, if he does, that'll be great for his growth as well. But if he doesn't, he's starting to come of own. There's a couple of, you know, good players. They've played well, like against the Crusaders, and they just lost. They've played well against the Chiefs. They've strung a lot of good stuff together. You know, it literally was, I feel like the scrum and that kicking duel was the only difference. Like they've created a hell of a lot. I didn't even touch on one point. I've just got to touch on it, is the development of Ngāti Laumapi and Umanga Jensen. We're so used to Umanga Jensen taking those down lines. Did you see when he took the drift line out and created that inside ball for Barrett off that scrum?
Yeah.
I think that's just a little growth, because we're so used to seeing him do that unders line, and he just drifted on that defence, and because we're so used to Laumapi, you know, you have to stay on him because if he carries, and so he stayed square on his defender, and then Umanga Jensen drifted, so his defender drifted with him, and it created that perfect gap. So they're adding a nice little string to their bow, and I know I've been, you know, talking up Ngāti, but, you know, Umanga Jensen's really come into some good form, and there was another nice little growth in their development and touch, which created that nice little space there.
At least have a look forward to this weekend, because there are obviously games going on this weekend. The Chiefs Blues, what do we think there? Let's start with you. What do you think is going to happen in that game?
Well, it'll just be interesting to see how they approach it, really, if they're going to rest some players or if they're going to end up having the same team. So there's two both ways, you know. Some people say that playing games and not having that week off helps you, or, you know, some other people say that they need a rest. So obviously selection will be dependent on how they go there, but I just think how the Chiefs are playing. Is it in Hamilton or in Eden Park?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I probably think, I'm probably going to go to the Chiefs. Just with how they're playing, they're the form team in the comp.
It's also good for them to have another week with Bryn Gatland at 10, which I presume
he was good.
Yeah, he was really good.
I thought he warmed into it. Like he didn't have an easy start. I don't think the Hurricanes came out hot. All the Chiefs were a bit, off at the start, but then he really warmed into it and came into his own. And I'm not just talking about his try. Like his whole game management was really solid, probably from that 15 minute mark onwards to a 60 minute. And it's good to see because he hasn't had a lot of minutes, and to put that performance in, that's what he's capable of.
And I think coming into a final, like finals kind of footy now, his game, his kicking game is just, especially if it could be a wet night in Christchurch, having his ability to be able to have that game management, which he's great at, and he's had some big games and some big moments, some big games. So I think
he is the original clutch.
He is. just need a hibiscus on instead of the Chief on.
Been like 8 weeks since we've talked up Bryn Gatland.
So. Yeah, I know. I've been missing that.
But no, it was good. No, he was. Yeah.
Bryn, send the bank transfer. Soon. Send the money and the boys want it.
No money needed. His actions do the talking. He backed us up on the weekend. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Not this weekend though.
No, because the Blues are going to win it, right?
Yeah. No, I just think it's almost like a release of the shackles. I feel the pressure won't be off as such, but there's no final to make, but Battle of the Bombays at home, and I think it's a perfect week to build around playing for something bigger and giving back to our community. And so that's something big for the Blues, and getting blue everywhere and getting and playing for our fans, and that's what is a cornerstone of something we started at the beginning of last year, and I think that'll be a big part of their week and a big motivator, and I just think it'll simplify things down and lead their week strongly to get a result.
The Landers versus the Canes, how does this play out, Bryn?
Wellington?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be close. Oh, I think. Oh, yeah.
Landers need to. I think the Hurricanes need to rectify their set piece.
Yeah.
If they're going to have a chance.
Yeah.
That's what costs them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except Wellington, eh? Yeah. I think the fact, very similar to the Blues being at home. Obviously they're proud nation. They're proud franchise at in Wellington. So anytime they play there, they want to get back to their fans. So they've still got a lot to play for. And again, that Trans-Tasman's coming up. So it's a great chance to keep building momentum for that next competition.
Highlanders are in good touch as well. And I think the innovation they've shown, and they'll want to potentially finish third. So I think they're a good chance to get a result here.
These two teams actually have been the two teams who seem to be most innovative on attack.
They've really
done some cool stuff.
Yeah, they have.
We haven't seen before.
Yeah, well, Hurricanes phase play and Highlanders set plays.
So
it'll be interesting. I don't know what the weather's like, but I think
also,
both attacking teams, great attacking team, it's going to rain.
So we'll see what the lineups are, but Highlanders will have to definitely, you'd have to go, if they have a good set piece night, like they have, that's what, and that breakdown will be crucial.
Nice to be, maybe see a bit more of Selesi Rayasi this weekend. I feel like we haven't probably seen as much of him as I would have liked this season.
I think we've seen, he had an awesome Bunnings NPC. He's got some opportunity. And then it'll be, there's still Trans-Tasman. So again, there's still quite a lot of games. I feel like because there's a final, everyone feels like the season's over. Still five games and another final. Yeah. So there's still quite a bit of rugby to go in our super colours. So there's still a bit to come. So let's not think it's the end of seeing these players get their opportunity.
Well, it's going to be a new style of play, that we haven't seen for a while. I think, we've been pretty lucky. You've seen Super Rugby, Aotearoa, like New Zealand teams play New Zealand way. It's going to be something different playing the Australian teams, and we haven't seen them for a while. So I think that kind of changed in how they're playing. Some really good teams that are, you know, even look at the Force. Even look at the Force beating the Reds, you know. So
they won't go away. The Aussie teams, man, they do not go away.
No.
Will be 80-minute efforts.
And I think they'll have a form of confidence about how they're playing. Mm. So I think they'll be really looking forward and saying, you know, we're looking forward to it. We feel ready to be able to, because, you know, most people would probably think, yeah, we're going to go over there, which I don't think is going to be the case at all. It's going to be close encounters. They're playing a great brand of footy. And probably actually them having their own Super Rugby AU has actually made them better.
Yeah.
Very similar to us. You know, we've played our own brand of footy, but I think the development of Australian rugby, probably the 12 to 18 months, has actually got a lot better. So it's going to be a great, great battle for when we do get over there.
They referee it differently too, so it'll be adjusting to that style.
Yeah.
So we're quite harsh, like, which is good. Don't get me wrong, but it's a little bit more let go over there to create a bit more open rugby. So the teams that adjust to that when they travel will be effective as well.
Looking forward to that, but we do have one more weekend to go of Super Rugby Aotearoa before we get to the final. So make sure you watch it on rugbypass.com, streaming around the world, and Sky Sport as well.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.